You have several scriptures that are present in your bulletin, and I paused in the work of the Holy Spirit as counselor for today's message, and let's pray for it. Lord, I ask that you would speak to all of us today about home and what that means, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's that time of the year when there is a clash of sports. Both baseball and football are in serious competition. George Carlin used to do a routine about the differences between football and baseball. Baseball is the great American pastime, and it's played in a park, while football is a raging battle on the gridiron in stadiums like Soldier's Field. Football players wear helmets while baseball players wear caps. Baseball has the seventh inning stretch. Football has the 2-minute warning. Baseball gets extra innings if there's a tie. Football has sudden death if there is a tie. In football, the main objective is military. The battle is fought in the trenches. The quarterback, who is the field general, seeks to evade the blitz and soften up the enemy line with a pounding ground attack and aerial bombardment. He uses bullet passes to riddle the enemy defenses and sometimes throws a long bomb to penetrate the end zone. In baseball, the object is to go home. Home. The spot on the baseball field that is desired. It's the place where you start the game. You can't stay there. You have to at least try to get to first base, then second, then third. And you would think that the next place would be fourth base, but it's not. It's home. When you leave it, you're vulnerable, but if you make your way back to home, you're safe at home. Home. I have a couple of movie clips about home. The first one is from The Wizard of Oz and is the title for the message.
Then close your eyes and tap your heels together 3 times. And think to yourself, there's no place like home. There's no place like home.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
Wake up, honey.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
Home. Home is very hard to define in life. What makes a place home? Home is the place where you're safe. It's the place where your story begins. Other people can't bother you there, and when you are home, you are free. You can walk around in your underwear or your birthday suit. You can let the dog lick you in the face, and you can have Coke for breakfast. The world can't criticize you or tell you how to do your job at home. Home is where you belong. Home is part of what makes you, you. In the movie E.T., he wants to go home. He wants to phone home so he can get home.
E.T. home phone.
E.T. phone home. E.T. phone home. E.T. phone home.
He wants to call somebody.
Home.
E.T. phone home.
E.T. phone home.
E.T. had a sickness. To not be at home is to invite a strange illness, and we call it homesickness. And E.T. had that sickness. Feelings of longing and desire, often mixed with anxiety and depression, are in us because we are separated from where we belong. I remember when I was probably about 12 years old that my parents sent me for 2 weeks in the summer to camp. And the first week was at a church camp up at Bloomington at East Bay Camp, and it was fine. But the second week was a YMCA camp right here at Spittler Woods. The second week for me, I remember, was very terrible because I was homesick. And, you know, you can't even really describe how bad that can be, but if you've ever had that feeling and experienced it, then you know what I'm talking about in terms of how it does to you. If there is a God, we have a hope for home. But if the atheists are right and there is no God, we are a homeless creature in a vast desert of a universe. I think in some ways the clash of worlds, like baseball and football, is being experienced by the human race as a whole right now. Some of us understand that we are chosen by God, made in His image, keeping His word in a creation that He made out of love. But there are a lot of people out there who only see us as an accident on a tiny planet on the edge of an ordinary galaxy among billions of galaxies. And we are an accident. And the universe is indifferent, and we are not at home. We have no home. You see, when you are home, you belong. You can find meaning. You can find forgiveness. Home is that place where you are valued. You and your home actually bless each other. If you don't have a home, you would be homeless. And that means you wouldn't belong anywhere. In my first 25 years of pastoral ministry, things would get very crazy at times. In ministry, I was in charge of a pretty big ministry down in Kentucky, and ministry is high profile as well. So you're always on show to other people and everything, and people are full of opinions, and they can get... You can get blown by the wind of what is happening around you very, very easily. At times down there, for sometimes I was the good guy, but for others I was the bad guy. The reality was I was just the guy. But there was times when you would kind of lose your identity in the busyness of life and the storms that rage around us. We can lose our way, but even more important, we can lose our identity. Sometimes I would forget who I was. We would vacation at my parents' home here in Decatur or Berta's parents out in Virginia during those years. For me, it was just not just a time away from work. Vacation wasn't just that, but it was a time of remembering who I was. Because you can be torn by the opinions of others. And those two places were home. Home is the place where when you go there, they have to take you in. Sometimes that's the way it is. It's also that place that you don't have to earn your place. And I just wonder sometimes how our folks thought about us coming to stay with them during vacation time in the summers. We would roll in with four kids and a couple of dogs. I remember my parents' dog when we came rolling in one time with two golden retrievers. Their dog left. We found that dog 3 blocks away on somebody's porch. She had lost her home. She'd had enough of those two big dogs. Home was also, when I was living in Kentucky, was also coming back to Illinois at Thanksgiving. We would gather at my brother's house with our 9 kids and adult parents and brothers and sisters and extended family, and we would sit around table at Thanksgiving and we would eat a meal. And it was home. To be homeless means more than just looking for a place to sleep at night. It's devastating to the soul because it means not belonging. It is an attack on our identity and knowing who we really are. That's why it was so important for me to go home to my parents. I needed to remember who I was because this world will kill, steal, or destroy your identity. And that's why church needs to feel like home for us as well. It's part of our responsibility to one another to make people feel welcome here and at home. So let me ask you, as human beings, are we here in this world by invitation or by accident? Are we just a carbon-based life form? Or do we have that gnawing inside of us for God because we are away from home? The world wants us to believe that the only thing we can know about our world is through science. And if we trust science, then we have to give up our faith. Some people think that if you take Genesis seriously, you can't believe in the Big Bang or evolution, which, by the way, can't explain everything anyway. Just so you know, Genesis was not written with 21st century science agenda in mind. Genesis was really answering the question of why we are and why we are the way we are. Science is trying to answer the question how all this came to be, but not why it is. The writer of Genesis was not writing a science book. He was writing about the meaning of life. He is saying that the universe is good and it was made to be our home, but we messed it up. And it will take God to set it right again. That's what he wrote about. Think about today, you and me, and the world around us. It seems to me that in this universe, and what little we know of it, it is extraordinary that you and I should exist at all. I mean, really. The natural state of affairs in this universe seems to be simply nothing. No universe, God, nothing. In some ways to me, it seems remarkable that we should even exist. The real trick isn't changing one thing into another thing. The real trick is creating something out of nothing. A group of scientists decided that human beings had come a long way and no longer needed God, and they picked one scientist to tell God that they didn't need him anymore. And so this scientist went to God and he said to God, "God, we can make it on our own. We know how life started. We know the secret of life. We know how to clone and duplicate, and we can do it without you." Well, God listened patiently, and he said, "Well, all right. What do you say we have a man-making contest?" And the scientist said, "Okay, great. We'll do it." And God said, "Now we're going to do it the same way I did it back in the old days of Adam." And the scientist said, "Sure, no problem." And the scientist, he reached down and he grabbed a handful of dirt. And God said, No. You get your own dirt." And that's the trick, isn't it? How do you get from nothing to something? And why is there something anyway? We all want to know, actually. If there is no God, there is no home. The universe is running on its own. We appeared by accident. We may have minds and self-awareness and hopes and desires, but one day it'll all be ground to powder and then nothingness. We don't belong. The Bible, on the other hand, tells us that God made the earth to be our home. The Garden of Eden was our home, but because of our sin, we were sent away and we lost our home. Because our homes are so wrapped up with our identities, When we lose our home, we lose our meaning and our worth and our identity. Just like Genesis, a lot of us destroy our homes by sin. We become deeply attached to our homes. I know that when we as a church were at Woodland Chapel, and we grew and we needed to move, and when we moved here, 75 to 100 members of Woodland Chapel left the church. So to them, I'm the bad guy because I destroyed their home. To those who were looking for to find a new home, I was the good guy. But once again, I was just the guy. But I understand the emotions that hit those people who left. People were married in that church. People lived and died in that church. It was home. When GT moved from here to where they are now, and so some of us actually are from GT, aren't we? And if you look deep in your emotions, some of you may be here because this building feels like home. In many ways, we have lost our sense of home in our modern society. Our problem is that we have gotten too big for our britches, I think. We think we know it all. As a race, we think we know it all. We have decided that what cannot be answered by science cannot be answered at all. Science can tell us how a house gets built, but it can't tell us what makes a house a home. And so we live in two separate worlds, and we have lost our sense of balance. James wrote about the world in describing the unstable person. I have James chapter 1 printed in your bulletin, verses 5 to 8, and let's read it together. Here we go. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all men generously and without reproaching, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, will receive anything from the Lord. We as a race are unstable. We have our own thoughts and hopes and griefs and convictions within us, but the external world out there is all about objects. Science says that quarks and galaxies are reality, and what we think and feel is an illusion. And because of that, we're no longer sure of anything, and the world was made to be our home, yet it's not our home. It has gone wrong, and yet all that I am talking about today is really a clue to our own condition. We are not at home. Sometimes we run away from home. You know, Jesus tells that story of the prodigal son who runs away from home, and the story is not only about the son who doesn't want to be at home, but also about the father who waits for him. When the prodigal son comes to himself and understands his condition, he heads for home. But he doubts that he has a place in it there anymore. But he discovers a father who's waiting for him. Jesus tells this story about us, about the human race, because our story is one of a runaway, and about God the Father who waits for his child to come home. T.S. Eliot expresses my own personal discovery and conviction about home, not only for myself, but for many of us in our lives when he wrote, you know, we must not cease from our journey, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we began and know the place for the first time. We've all heard the saying, home is where the heart is. Do you ever wonder where God's home is? A lot of people think God is up there in heaven and he doesn't have anything to do with us down here. He really isn't interested in us that much at all. People of science don't believe in God, or if they do believe in God, then they may have set the universe in motion, but doesn't really have any real relationship with it. You can believe that if you want to. But if there's anything to this Jesus and God stuff that we talk about, we see that Father God and Jesus have a different idea about our relationship. Read with me John 14:23. Here we go. Jesus answered him, "If a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Hear what it says. Jesus said this. During the Last Supper, he said this. I think home for God is more about people than a place. Maybe there is no God. Maybe we are just an accident and the universe is not our home, is not a home at all. But maybe there is a God, and maybe home is where God is. The Bible affirms to us that home is where God is, and home is being with God. At the end, in the book of Revelation, is proclaimed to us where home really is. Read with me Revelation 21:1-4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man." Every year about this time, schools and colleges have what is known as homecoming, a time when people gather to remember and celebrate their lives together and rekindle old friendships. And when I lived in Kentucky, we would come home to Illinois at certain times of the year. One of those times was Thanksgiving. We would do that here in Illinois on the old Pitzer farm up by Cooksville, Illinois, and we would gather as a family and celebrate our family and life together, even though we are no longer home. When Jesus was celebrating Passover with his disciples, he instituted and he shared with them the Last Supper, and they sat down and had that together. In the midst of that meal together, he said some very profound words about home as their time together was coming to an end. Read with me John 4:1-2. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go there to prepare a place for you?" Thomas Wolfe wrote a novel called You Can't Go Home Again. Well, it's true, you can't relive it, but I'm not so sure if you can't go home again. In some ways, we can go home again and again and again. So what we hear from God is that home is a place, but it is also a relationship. Every once in a while, we get a glimpse of what home is really like. Usually, it's over a meal in a place with people that speaks to our hearts. Those are the moments when identity is rediscovered and faith is rekindled. And the words of T.S. Eliot echo in those times and places. We must not cease from our journey. And the end of our journey will be to arrive where we began. And know the place for the first time, home. Let's pray. Lord, we come together today. Help us to know where we are and where our home is. And we ask that you would bless us as we share this meal together, that you would give us your presence and let it be a homecoming meal. In Jesus' name.